Hello, you're listening to the Red, White, and Brown Report podcast here on redwhiteandbrownreport.com. We're all in a great mood today. I certainly am because Arsenal won the game against Stoke City 3-0 and we played very, very well indeed.
And you're because you are in Vegas.
And I'm also in Vegas sitting on the 33rd floor of the Venetian looking over the strip. It's pretty amazing and it's nice and sunny outside. Joining me today again is Aman. Aman, how are you doing?
Great, I'm great, mate. How are you?
Good. Very nice. Couldn't have been better after that 5:30 a.m. kickoff here on the West Coast. Woke up really early in the morning and, like I said, a 3-0 Arsenal victory. Couldn't have been better.
It could have been. We could have won 5-0 instead.
Yeah, we could have. I mean, this was the first Arsenal victory since Aston Villa back in September, where the team looked so much in control of the game and looked so convincing in everything they did. For the first time, I think we won't be talking about the Arsenal defense making mistakes. So
yeah, I mean, I thought we really looked good. Probably one of the most enjoyable games of recent times, not just this season. I think even the last two or three seasons, I don't remember we being in such good control over the whole 90 minutes.
Yeah, and especially like against Stoke City, if we have that much control, it just pleases me that extra bit because I obviously hate Stoke. Actually, Aman, this very fixture, Arsenal-Stoke at home at the Emirates, was my first ever Arsenal game live inside the stadium. It was fantastic. Arsenal came out 3-1 winners last year. I still remember it was September 21st and Mesut Ozil had three assists in the game. Bakary Sanya scored a goal. But yeah, beating Stoke is just, it just gives me that extra thing to celebrate, which is good. Yeah.
And also because I thought they were being the usual Stoke bit, being nasty and just the way they are.
Yeah, some of the tackles that Stoke City were putting in were ridiculous. The only downside of the 3-0 victory, the only sore point was Mathieu Debuchy going off to a dislocated shoulder, and which what was Arnautovic even thinking? Didn't get the ball. Mathieu Debuchy wasn't going anywhere, and he just shoved him in the back, and which resulted in. They didn't stop the game for too long, but Debuchy was getting treated on the sidelines for almost, 10 minutes before he got taken to a hospital.
Yeah, it looked quite bad at the start, but I think if it was just a dislocated shoulder, I think it should be all right. It shouldn't be too bad, hopefully.
The reports came in and looks like he's going to be out for at least 4 to 6 weeks. Which means... Yeah, he's definitely missing the game against Man City. He might miss the game against Aston Villa and also Liverpool. But that was the only downside of the game. Apart from that, I thought Bellerin, who came in, he did pretty well. He's been putting some good, consistent performances.
He looks really good and he looked good going forward and fairly good defensively too. So yeah, very good prospect.
Yeah. And so what was good about the victory was it's happened way too many times this season where Arsenal have started slow in games and struggled to find their feet in the first half. And either that or, you know, Arsenal have always found a way to concede right after they've scored. Arsenal this time started with Alexis Sanchez, Thomas Rosicky, Santi Cazorla and Alex Song all playing behind Giroud. And to go forward with that kind of pace, I mean, you see Rosicky, you see Sanchez, you see Ox all going in with that pace. It was just magnificent. Look how they completely mothered the Stoke midfield and defenders.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was really good. And I thought the first goal really set the tone for the game with Koscielny scoring. Very easy header, but perfect ball by Sanchez.
That's so weird because Stoke City is known to not concede goals during set pieces, and set pieces were their strong point. Alexis Sanchez took the corner, didn't get in a good cross initially the first time around. He got the ball back. Koscielny, who recovered the ball, passed it back to Alexis Sanchez.
That's what I was going to say. I think the reason that they didn't track him was because he came like towards the corner of the penalty area, gave the ball back to Sanchez and then drifted back in. So I think it was Whelan who was tracking him. He kind of lost him and Sanchez spotted him brilliantly and put in the perfect ball.
It was really easy. It was a very good header though. Must say, I mean, I like it. I like it when Koscielny scores because he's a defender who's capable of scoring much more, and he always seems to get the most important goals. The FA Cup final goal, for example. I mean, he finds himself in great positions. But that was Arsenal's first goal, where obviously Alexis Sanchez assisted. But what about that second goal from Alexis Sanchez?
Yeah, that was just out of this world. I mean, I don't think anyone thought that he's going to go for the near post, and the way he just did it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great exchange of passes between Nacho Monreal passing the ball into Cazorla passing into Sanchez. Sanchez, I mean, he had good vision. Sanchez had he lost the ball to Enzonzi.
Sanchez tried to pass the ball to Szczęsny, but he mispassed it.
Exactly.
And he kind of got it back, and then he did a like change of passing with Augusti, which kind
Yeah.
of let him in free. And but yeah, the dink was just amazing because I think all the defenders were wrong-footed, but that.
All the defenders like Ryan Shawcross and Enzonzi, even Begovic thought he would. I think
Yeah,
earlier in the game he tried a shot in the far post, a curler into the far post, but that didn't work out because Begovic saved well. But this time he was like, you know, why go in for the far post? Like when I can easily slip it past near the near post. It was amazing. It was a great team goal. Great exchange of passes between Cazorla and Ruzicka too throughout the game. I thought both of them were the fulcrum of the entire midfield this game. Although they didn't get any assist or they didn't make a direct impact on a goal, I thought just the movement was fantastic. That's the Arsenal team that we've been waiting for all season.
Yeah, I think that was always on the cards in a way because, I mean, the kind of player Sanchez is, he is kind of an individual sort of a player, and it will take time for him to learn about other players and other players to learn about him and movements and etc. So I'm really excited for the second half with Ozil coming back, and it can be mesmerizing to watch this team if they actually kick it off from here.
I was really glad that Ozil and Theo Walcott both got a few minutes on the pitch. The game was virtually over, but it's nice to make a comeback in front of your home fans. Mesut Ozil showed us what he's actually capable of with that. I don't know if you remember, I think it was the 78th, 79th minute. He'd just come on, and he made this really good backflip pass into Nacho Monreal without even looking at where Nacho was, just passed it into his feet. That's the kind of penetration into the opposition defenses that we missed throughout. And
And
with the
that, and what other thing Ozil provides is that, like in the games against Anderlecht, where once you are under the cosh, there's no one who can kind of just keep the ball and just rotate the ball. And once Ozil comes back, that is what kind of comes in very, very well. He can just be that calming influence in the team when the team is under pressure.
Yeah, where do you think Ozil should play? Especially with Santi Cazorla, Alexis Sanchez, both tend to play on the left.
Oh,
Where do you think Ozil will fit in the midfield with both of them
well,
playing?
I think it's wherever it starts, like the way team plays, it's not really a fixed position. They just keep moving all over almost the whole four or five of the front line. It's actually not fixed positions. They keep moving around left and right all the time. Like Theo even last year before Sanchez came, Theo actually played a game on the left. So I don't see that being a kind of a concern that what is their nominal position is, because I just think that those are just nominal positions.
I don't necessarily think it's a concern either. As long as all three know where they're playing and track back.
Yeah, I mean that is, I think it also depends on who's playing with them, etc. And I think this year Santi has been very good in tracking back. And if Ox is playing, Ox is quite good in tracking back. So yeah, I mean it remains to be seen how they set it up. And of course, it also depends who Wenger buys or if it only buys.
And I mean, talking about Theo Walcott, he came on for about 20 minutes. He played the game versus Hull City also, and he still looks a little rusty.
Yeah, but I'm happy that he's missing all these chances in at inconsequential moments in games they have already won. So Hull, he missed a couple of chances. Yesterday he missed a good chance. So these are good times to be for him to kind of get into some sort of groove where it doesn't really matter whether he missed a chance or not, compared to say if he were to get a chance against City next week. So then he misses, that's a bigger problem.
Yeah, it's good. It's good that he's getting in good goal scoring positions. I
Yeah.
think Wenger could have trouble picking players for the game against City, with Ox also in form, Walcott. You know, Walcott can change games. Bellerin playing well, so we are pretty solid going forward on the right. We're pretty solid going forward on the left.
I think against City is probably relatively an easier choice because you want to have players who do a defensive shift to against City because you can't really afford to have nobody tracking back. So against City, it's probably a slightly easier choice because you know probably will have to play Ox and you will also have to play Kokola and maybe even Flamini, I don't know. So yeah, but against say Villa, it will probably be harder because you can afford to play all the four attackers if you want to.
We were talking earlier, but this is the third episode of our Red, White, and Brown Report podcast. And all three episodes, we talked about Santi Cazorla, we talked about Rosicky, and we're talking about Coquelin. But he's actually had a very good game.
Yes, he did. I just sometimes I just worry that after watching Flamini being so poor, so we just think everything Auckland is supernatural or something.
So anybody who's better than Flamini is
Yeah,
great for
exactly.
us.
He probably just does the most basic things right, just stayed in his place, doesn't go forward and just does the basic stuff. But after watching Flamini never being there, it probably feels that oh, he's the best defensive midfielder in the world or something.
Right. No, so I'm on this WhatsApp thread with three other Man U fans and one other Arsenal fan. Yuri, along with Nikhil and Sham, basically all three of them, they laugh at how I try to support every Arsenal player, no matter how bad he is. I was talking about Francis Coquelin and him being good. They're like, oh, so Francis Coquelin is finally a good match for Nemanja Matic, and obviously they're being very sarcastic about that. But yeah, I thought he had a good game. It'll be interesting to see him versus City. Do you think we'll go with both Flamini and Coquelin?
It's hard to say really. It really depends on how what Wenger thinks of Flamini, whether he can still. The problem with Flamini is that he's just like a terrier dog in the middle. He just runs wherever the ball is. He doesn't really kind of doesn't stay in a position. He just tries to do everything on the pitch, and which is actually a problem because and on top of that he keeps shouting at other people to do their job and he's not doing his. And
You know,
I think
I noticed Coquelin yelling at Mertesacker when he missed a header and didn't track Bojan, I think. And that was pretty good. I mean, this guy just came back from a loan spell at Charlton, called back early into the team, and now he's yelling at a 6-foot-6 defender who's the captain of the team and also a veteran. Yeah, it was comforting to see someone take up that leadership role in midfield, which
yeah. I mean, the thing with that is, Flaminio shouts a lot, but he doesn't do his job first. He just spends so much time shouting, unfortunately.
but really, I mean, well, overall, Stoke was so bad that they made most of our midfielders and defenders look good in front of them. And apart from, actually, I don't have any respect for most Stoke players, except for maybe Cameron and Bojan. Bojan is one player I like. He's the sort of he's almost a misfit in the Stoke team, but he's one of those players who'll run in behind defenses and create those chances. And yeah, he's one player I respect. There was this one incident I remember. Crouch as he was throughout the game. He was pushing, like raising elbows at people. Overall, I think throughout the game, he probably had, the ref could have given him at least 5 or 6 yellow cards. There were tackles which deserved yellow cards throughout the game. It was absolutely horrendous. But there was this one incident where Crouch pushed Mertesacker, and Bojan was around to break the fight. And I was like, dude, like, you're maybe 5'5". So he was standing between the big fucking German and the big fucking D, Peter Crouch. And that was that was pretty hilarious. And
yeah, I feel Crouch gets away with a lot of fouls because people think he's just ungainly or because of his frame or whatever. But I think that a lot of those fouls are actually like sly fouls where he knows he can get away with them, but he does them intentionally, like the elbow into Monreal's face.
Yeah, the elbow into Monreal's face actually got him 2 stitches, and he still carried on, but there were so many tackles throughout the game. The push itself deserved maybe a red card, but other than that, who else? We had David Ospina. David Ospina played his first Premier League game, made a debut in front of the home fans, and there was this brilliant chant, right? Ospina,
yeah,
was like,
Ospina!
That was hilarious, and I liked how the fans remodeled the chant that we use for the Mexican football team. The Mexican football team obviously used a certain P word that we probably shouldn't use here on the episode. Every time a goal kick is taken, or every time a free kick is taken by the goalkeeper, the fans go, Ospina! That was really good. It was a good reformulation of the previous chant. But he wasn't really tested throughout the game.
Oh, not at all. I think he had to probably make one decent save towards the end.
I think it was Stephen Ireland who tried to curl it across. Yeah. He held it. Yeah. But it was a very normal game. And so after 2 clean sheets, 1 against Hull, 1 against Stoke City, do you think now Wenger will play him in the game against City?
Ospina?
Yeah.
I don't see why not.
So,
I mean, given the fact that if you decided to give Ospina the start in the last game, he did nothing to suggest that he shouldn't be in the goal again. So, and if anything, as a goalie, probably it is a more difficult game to play against the likes of Stoke than, say, City.
Right, but Stoke didn't really do anything this game. They weren't even providing those high balls into the box. So it was a rather silent game for Ospina. But so is Ospina finally a good number 2 challenger for Chesney? Do you think he can demote him down to number 2?
We don't know yet. I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen him. I've seen barely anything of Ospina.
But
he has good record. So you have, he was one of the best goalies, I think, in League One when he was there. So it's really up to him. Like last time Fabianski got a chance, if he hadn't got injured, who knows, Chesney might not have come back.
Yeah. I think goalkeeping is one of those positions where Wenger last time said it's one of the most mentally challenging positions, because Chesney was terrible. I think it was the 2013 season. Chesney was pretty bad. He dropped him, gave Fabianski a good run in to the side, and then unfortunately, like you mentioned, like Fabianski got injured, which got Chesney back into the team. But I think once Chesney came back, he was pretty good. He was more alert. It felt like he was making less rash decisions when inside the box. So it probably helps just to get a break from the game for a little bit, because as a goalkeeper, you're almost expected to play all 38 league games. So sometimes it's good to be on the bench, sit on the bench, mull over your mistakes. He apparently, so there was this rumor going around that Wenger and Chesney got a bust up, which Aman talked about in the last episode. So the bust up was about Chesney smoking inside the Arsenal dressing room after the loss, or smoking inside the shower after the last loss against Southampton. And
I have actually not figured out how do you smoke under a shower.
I have no idea.
That would be some trick to pull off to have water flowing over you and smoking away.
But yeah, overall, it was a pretty happy day for most Arsenal fans, I would say.
Yeah, it was quite a good day. Except that if on such good day you somehow go back on Twitter or on personal messaging like WhatsApp, and people are still moaning, they still find reasons to moan, which I never understand. I think people now they just want a reason to be angry about. So I was just happy with the way Arsenal played, but there were people moaning about why Sanchez not being rested, why is Ozil comes back, who will go out. And I just don't understand those people. Why can't they just enjoy the game, a great day, and just be happy?
I know. I mean, that's what you watch football for, right? I mean, sure, you get angry when the team loses, but if the team's winning, just be happy.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now people just need a reason to be angry. If everything is going well, then they actually feel, oh, this is not right. We need to be angry about something. Let's find and dig something out so that we can be angry about on the internet or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, well. But, hopefully a couple more victories, especially a victory against Man City, be welcome.
But yeah, I really hope we do. We should win against City, I think.
I hope so too. I mean, especially with City, David Silva playing as a striker, or James Milner playing as a striker.
I think Aguero might be back next week, I think, because he came on a sub in the last game.
Yeah, do you think he'll play a full 90 minutes?
He might. Well, we might start him and then see how it goes.
I guess it's time to put him back into my fantasy team. Because Aguero usually finds a way to score against Arsenal. Actually, which successful striker does not find a way to score against Arsenal? But that's
Aguero finds a way to score against almost everyone. So yeah. Aguero is a different level.
So, who's your fantasy pick for next week?
I
totally put you on the spot over there, but
I haven't really looked at it. But this was a decent week for me, except that if I had only captained
Alexi.
Sanchez.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it was a decent week.
I know. I was debating whether to captain Sanchez or to captain Eden Hazard. And Hazard had a good... He had a home game versus... who are they playing?
Newcastle.
A home game versus a managerless Newcastle. And...
Yeah.
I whipped him, but... I had vice-captained Sanchez.
Yeah, same.
Obviously,
yeah.
That doesn't count. Great, but I think we're just about short on time. But overall, I think, you know, both of us are in a great mood. Arsenal were brilliant overall. We made very few mistakes throughout the game. Walcott, Ramsey, Ozil, all are back in the Premier League. We play Man City next week. And I'm in Vegas. So it's a very happy... I'm very happy indeed. Any final thoughts?
No, on that happy note, I just hope that we really win next week. And I'm really looking forward actually to see Ozil, Cazorla, Sanchez playing tandem. That will be just mesmerizing whenever it happens.
Great. Well, on that note, Aman, wish you a very good, happy week, especially after Arsenal's really good performance. And we look forward to doing another podcast episode right after the Man City game. And hopefully, it'll be a victory.
Yes, and we will be happier than we are right now.
Oh, bet. Yeah,
and
I would be.
I'm sure you will be having a happy week with you being in Vegas and all.
Oh, I just
so
hope
I don't
I get enough
wish
sleep.
You that.
Great. All right.
Hope
well.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening again. And you can subscribe to us either on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at RWB Report. And you can also go visit us on redwhiteandbrownreport.com. And you have a good rest of your day. Thank you.